Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, host of this program. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. Just a couple of dads of five in studio, arguing for a little faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. And one of the freedoms we appreciate and we hold dear is the freedom to life. Without the freedom of life, you're not going to have any other freedoms. And so that's why we stand for life and we protest for life from time to time, although that is dangerous. Dave, you heard of the guy who stood up for life out in Michigan over the last week and wound up with a bullet through his head. Apparently, there was an anti-life guy who showed up on the scene. And these anti-life people can be a little dangerous, I'd say.
They can be against life.
In fact, one of the most dangerous things you can do is to protest against abortion. I've done that in abortion clinics around this country a number of different times. And it is dangerous. I brought my family down there a number of times as well. You are threatened. You get the finger an awful lot of times. You get pushed around a fair amount. People don't like that kind of thing. They don't like you to stand up and say, hey, don't kill your babies. If there are people killing their babies inside and people walking inside who want to kill their babies, they're not going to think twice about knocking you off because they've already committed themselves to killing. That's what they want to do. That's why people have abortions. They stop beating hearts. They rip babies apart. They pull babies into pieces, rip them out of the womb, and it's murder, folks. If they're going to murder innocent little babies, I mean, what about me? Are they going to care less about me if they could care less about their kid?
Kevin, if they've already decided that life is cheap, they're not going to think that your life is too valuable. They're not going to protect it. I mean, imagine yourself walking into a Nazi death camp and saying, you know, we really ought not gas any Jews. You might not live to do that a second day because they've already decided those who hate me, says Jesus, love death. They love death. They like to spread death.
You get a little light coming into the world, and you know what? The darkness hates the light because their deeds are evil. That's it, folks. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 19. That's right. You get somebody like Jesus walking in the world saying, hey, what you're doing is evil. Your deeds are evil. And you show a little light in that darkness, people aren't going to appreciate that sort of thing. And, you know, more often than not, they're going to put the good guy to death. They might even put him on a cross. Men have done that kind of thing from day one, folks, ever since Cain killed Abel. I mean, come on, you stand up for what's right. You're going to wind up dead for it. That's what the bad guys do. They do it all the time. People deny God, refuse to fear God, and walk in his ways. Of course, they're going to kill you. That's what they do. That's what they do best. Well, just in a little bit, so we're going to talk about a little bit more light and how that light betrays the darkness. We're going to show how the deeds are evil in some of these Acorn offices and Planned Parenthood offices. Next on Generation, stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Roll up your sleeves, put on your hard hat, and grab your toolbox. It's time for Christians to get to work in our culture. Let's think and act biblically with Worldview Academy's Bill Jack on simple tools for brain surgery.
In the movie, the Wizard of Oz tells the Scarecrow why anybody can have a brain that's a very mediocre commodity. The wizard then confers upon him the honorary degree of Ph.D., Doctor of Thinkology. The Scarecrow immediately spouts, "The sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side." Most viewers of The Wizard of Oz assume he is quoting a mathematical formula. What he quotes, however, is absolutely false. While it is true that everyone does have a brain, the real question is, do you use it wisely? We must follow the wise man who tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, not the removing, of our minds."
To add more tools to your kit, go to worldview.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Today, getting back to John 3:19, it's amazing how light overwhelms the darkness, although the darkness rather finds that a bit irritating. And, Dave, that's what we're seeing in some of these recent stings. The acorn sting is on the news, at least Fox News, all over the place right now, where you've got two folks, O'Keefe and Giles, who posed as a pimp and a prostitute, walked into some acorn offices, Baltimore and Washington, D.C., I believe, and they set up these people. Said, "Here, we want to open up this brothel," and apparently the acorn workers were more than happy to accommodate.
The acorn workers were more than happy to accommodate. In fact, they wanted to lend a helping hand. They wanted to give this entrepreneur and this prospective local politician as much help as they could. After all, they're about organizing.
Here they've got, in this one story I found online, for tax and banking purposes and to establish legitimate income and credit history, Giles was told she needed to start saying she was a freelancer, not a prostitute, but a freelancer. Also, as far as the money was concerned, they said, "Well, open a couple bank accounts, don't deposit more than $500 a week so that, you know, a few eyebrows are raised. As for the rest of the money," he says, "just dig a hole in the backyard, you know, get a tin, bury it down in there, and you put the money right in and you put the grass over it and you don't tell a single soul but yourself where it is." That kind of stuff's amazing to me. What person of the right mind would say that to a total stranger? It seems like it's a comic scene and these people are accommodating the comedy. I can't even imagine anybody in their right mind would tell somebody to break a law and bury the money in the backyard.
Break a law? Well, it gets more ridiculous than that, of course. They're trying to help this prostitute find a way to declare her income for the IRS and yet not have any taxes. So she's talking about bringing other prostitutes from Honduras, 15-year-olds, and declaring them as dependents so that she doesn't have to pay any taxes. In fact, even qualify for a child care tax credit. She's helping them not only just get this house loan, but in order to file the taxes for the IRS, they have to find a code. And it's hilarious to watch. You know, there's no tax code for prostitution, as it turns out, which you think there would be because congressmen have to file their taxes. But they end up with a tax code. This is category. This is just hilarious. Performance artist.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, okay. I guess that covers a lot of different things you could be doing.
I think that could cover us. We're on there. We're performance artists.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, folks, it's affecting Acorn. I think they lost their connection with the Census Bureau. Census Bureau says, "Well, we're going to draw the line there. We're not going to work with these people that finance brothels."
Finance brothels, help people bring underage children in for the purposes of prostitution, tax cheats. No, the tax cheats I think they were okay with. You can actually become Secretary of the Treasury if you're a good tax cheat. So I don't think that bothered them so much.
And please understand that your tax money is going to fund these programs, folks. Right now, what do they have, $1 billion to spend from the economic recovery package?
From the stimulus package?
Yeah.
Your stimulus package paying for prostitutes? That's probably not the kind of stimulus we need.
Yeah. All right, let's move from Acorn now to Planned Parenthood. It kind of galls me that my tax money is going to pay for Acorn, but also Planned Parenthood, an organization funded by Margaret Sanger from the beginning, a eugenics organization focused on establishing their clinics in poor neighborhoods so that as many African-American babies as possible would be aborted over the period of 50 or 60 years. And Margaret Sanger's dream has been realized, and your tax money is funding Planned Parenthood to the tunes of, what, $400 to $500 million a year. And Lila Rose, a lady from Los Angeles, and by the way, Dave, Lila Rose is a homeschooled girl, a family of 8 or 9 children, and she went to UCLA, I believe, and while she was at UCLA some 3-4 years ago, she decided that she would start working on a sting operation with Planned Parenthood. So she'd walk into the Planned Parenthoods, and she would pretend to be an underage girl, 13 years old or so, and pregnant by older men, and she would be seeking an abortion. And there's been a number of different cases in which she walked into abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood abortion clinics, and she received illegal advice. And let's get one of those clips off of YouTube right now. I just want to, you know, give you an idea of what's happening with your tax money, my friends. This is what's going on in Planned Parenthoods around America. Listen to what Lila Rose did.
Have you had a positive pregnancy test? Okay. How old are you?
I'm 13.
Okay. In the state of Indiana, you have to have a parent's signature to get an abortion.
And I would want to know who was the stepfather and everything, and I can't tell. I wouldn't want to tell them about all that stuff.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he would be in really big trouble.
I don't want to know how old he is. Okay. Because in the state of Indiana, anyone 13 years and younger there has to be a report done to CPS. It has to be reported to Child Protective Services. Okay. I didn't hear the age. I don't want to know the age.
Okay.
It could be reported as rape.
Oh, okay.
And that's child abuse.
Oh.
Okay.
So if I just say, I don't know who the father was, but he's one of the guys at school or something?
Right.
Okay.
Just, you know, you've seen him around, you know, he's 14, he's in your grade and whatever.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? Okay, so that's that problem solved.
All right, so what do you got in this clip? You've got a 13-year-old girl walking into an Indiana abortion clinic or Planned Parenthood. She receives counsel to not share the information she's been with a 31-year-old, rather act like she's been with a 13, 14-year-old in her own school and she's really messed up and all of that. And then the counselor encourages her to an abortion across state lines, across the Illinois border. So this is the sort of counsel she receives in a Planned Parenthood, and this kind of thing is repeated across the country in a number of cases done by Lila Rose and her friend O'Keefe, which I believe may be the same guy who does the Acorn busts as well.
Well, what you have here is an encouragement to hide two crimes. First is a statutory rape. 1331, I know it just seems like a dyslexic error, but it actually is the difference between a felony, child abuse and statutory rape in the state of Indiana, and just plain fornication. Neither one of them, which is very good, by the way. But they want to hide this fact in order that they might kill the baby with as least amount of paperwork as possible. And then the other problem, of course, is that in Indiana, a 13-year-old needs parental notification. Well, you know, a parent might get upset if you're going to try and kill their grandchild. So by all means, please go across the border. We so desperately need to kill this baby. Let's keep grandpa and grandma out of the equation. So this is what, you know, the pro-death people want to do. They want to kill.
Yeah, I guess what blows my mind, Dave, is how committed they are to killing. I just love murder to the point where they will lie, they will break laws, they will do anything it takes to kill a baby because that's their goal in life. Pretty sad, but Dave, in many cases, these women have had abortions themselves who are doing all this counseling, and they have never repented, and their hearts are hardened and calloused, and they are willing to engage in as many murders as they possibly can engage in because they are callous to what they are doing. Now, thankfully, there are stings like this that reveal what is really happening in some of these organizations. And I think that's good. Let's do one more here, Dave. And this is the same organization. In this case, it's Lila Rose and her friend O'Keefe again. In this case, this guy is seeking to give money to the abortion of black babies, African-American babies. He's trying to get in line with the original eugenics plan that Margaret Sanger had adopted in her establishment of Planned Parenthood early in the 1900s. And so here we have Lila Rose and James O'Keefe one more time in the sting operation against Planned Parenthood.
A little over a year ago, my friend and I, James O'Keefe, decided to do a project, an investigative project of Planned Parenthood.
James O'Keefe, advisor for the Advocate, a pro-life student publication, called Planned Parenthood posing as a donor. Not just any donor, a donor with racist motives.
Planned Parenthood Administration is the place of.
When I underwrite abortion, does that apply to minorities too?
If you specifically want it to underwrite an abortion for a minority person, you can target it that way. You can specify that that's how you want it spent.
And he offered these departments donations that he wanted to designate specifically for the abortion of a minority, of a black child. And online, in the first day of calling with all seven departments that we called, the employees didn't flinch at the racism. Instead, they agreed to accept the donations, and often they did it with excitement or expressing their own agreement with his racist comments.
And we just think, you know, the less black kids out there, the better.
Understandable. This is the first time I've had a donor call and make this kind of request, so I'm excited, and I want to make sure I don't leave anything out.
Dave, she's excited. Excited to receive this money. It's understandable that it's understandable to this Planned Parenthood worker that this guy would like to see a lot less black babies around, and she's 100% on board with this. I mean, this is Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, and they're still killing black babies, and they're happy to receive donations to do it.
Well, they're giddy. You know, there's a reason why Planned Parenthood locates themselves typically in neighborhoods of minorities, because, as Margaret Sanger said, those are the human weeds. We got to kill off the black babies. We got to do it. And we're so excited. This is her first one. She wants to make sure the paperwork is done right.
Yeah. Oh, Dave, I just can't believe some of the stuff that you get on these videos. But this is what happens in these organizations, Planned Parenthood, Acorn. These people are stealing our money. They're redistributing our money, and they're putting it into dens of prostitution. They're happy to put it into aborting children conceived in rape and not informing anybody or getting anybody in trouble in the process.
Imagine that you called the local jail or the local prison and said, I want to donate money to build cells to hold Christians. I want to hold some more Christians in jail. I think more Christians need to be in jail. I would like to give some money just for the Christians to be jailed.
Yeah, and imagine what some of them would say. Well, maybe Acorn might be right on board with that. I don't know. Anyway, folks, these are stings, and they're certainly betraying what's happening in the unfruitful works of darkness in some of these organizations that are funded by your tax monies. And Dave, I think I find it a little galling that our tax monies are funding these things to the tune of billions and billions of dollars in any given year.
Well, we're being forced to contribute to those things which we find abhorrent. And when a government forces you to take your money to fund that which is abhorrent, you have a tyranny.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks, as we talk about stings, I wonder sometimes how effective they are. I think at least we're starting to see what is happening in these organizations. The problem, of course, with stings is anytime you tempt somebody to sin or break the rules, 9 times out of 10, unregenerate people will go for it. That's what they do. They like to sin. They like to break the rules when they think they can get away with it. You got a little 13-year-old in your office, and you think you can get away with one more abortion without letting anybody know about it, and maybe even, you know, falsify the paperwork in the process? I think people are more than happy to do that. That's because they love darkness rather than light, and that is the nature of the human heart. And these things certainly are betraying these things. And, Dave, I think to some extent these things do provide somewhat of a public embarrassment to these organizations. Of course, their response is, we fired the idiot that said that. They don't talk about the other 400 idiots that work for their organizations either. Or their own organizations is sort of the basis upon which these organizations were founded, and that is the basis of ripping off people, stealing other people's money, redistributing it to other people, and then killing massive numbers of babies in the process.
Well, it illustrates several things. One is we have too many laws on the book, too many administrative laws. It's like if they wanted to go after you, Kevin, and what they did is they put a sting in there's so many laws on the books, they could probably find something you do wrong at lunchtime. Maybe you used the washcloth that you didn't sterilize from breakfast. And so when you have company over, you're breaking FDA rules about cleanliness or something. There's too many laws on the books. And these are administrative crimes, but they're administrative crimes with a moral or an immoral underpinning. And that's maybe the bigger issue, is that we are now making cover for the darkness. We're trying to cover up the darkness that it might proceed, that it might advance. We might kill more children. We can have more prostitutes. We can do more illegal home loans. We can do more money laundering. These are the kinds of things that, O'Keefe and his friends are showing. Now, when you peel back the layers of darkness and you shine a little light, that's generally a good thing. But I think you have a point. I wonder, every time I hear the story about a police setting up a website where they lure in some kind of pedophile and there's exchanges of child pornography, did they tempt people into something they wouldn't have done otherwise? And how engaged in the crime? In other words, are the officers committing the very same crime in order to catch the other pedophile? Are we making it worse?
And that's why, of course, the only way we're going to solve these problems is for people to begin to live their lives by the laws of God and bring the laws of God to bear in the civil magistrate, in every area of life in which we find ourselves. And Dave, fundamentally, what we need to do is start defunding the government to a massive, massive extent. And as long as we keep electing these Democratic and Republican administrations that continue to spend our money and redistribute the wealth in so many different ways, and especially to some of these liberal leftist organizations, Dave, we're never going to see any improvement. In other words, the fundamental problem is not Acorn. The fundamental problem is George W. Bush and the Republican administrations that fund these programs.
Kevin, the fundamental problem is a problem of ideas, and we are not going to win this battle of ideas until we eliminate the public schools, because we have to view God as the provider of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The First Amendment that gives you a right to free speech, I said that wrong, and I bet very few people caught it. The First Amendment does not grant you a right to free speech. God gives you a right to speech. The First Amendment says the government shall not abridge that right. The First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution puts constitutional limits on the federal government. Your right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, your right to own a firearm, your right to peaceably assemble is given to you by God. But you're not going to be taught that if you're in the public school, because all of a sudden you believe you have a right to a free education. And that quickly turns into the state is obliged to make sure that you are educated. The schools are the mechanism by which we eliminate God and we look to the government as God, because now it's the provider. And we're never going to win this battle of ideas as long as the state is the God of providence instead of the God who is.
And Dave, two things simultaneously happening here. On the one hand, we're denying God as the source of morality. And then secondly, we're adopting the government as our savior. Therefore, we are fine with the government pays for our abortions, our murders, our prostitutes, our rapes, whatever. The government can pay for it all, because there is no God, there is no morality, and government is the great savior and the thing that's going to pay for it all. Well, this, folks, is the world we're in today, and fundamentally the change that I think we got to bring about is this, a change that will come when we elect godly leaders who will do godly things in government. That's it. That's the only solution. And Dave, I think this idea that somehow the media will change public opinion, and therefore, if the media changes public opinion, we will get good people elected, is not a good way of looking at this, because public opinion is always incredibly fickle. What we need are good leaders, men who are willing to put their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and property on the line in order to achieve some good in the public wheel. We need these guys willing to go out there and get elected and work hard and execute righteous laws for us. But this sort of thing is only going to happen if we raise these young men in our homes right now with a godly way of looking at things and a faith and a courage to go out there and implement them.
What you're saying is we need to be a Republican form of government, not a Democrat form of government. A Democratic form of government those who represent you are followers of a public opinion. In a Republican form of government, they lead you. You elect a man based on his character, not on his 1,000 positions. We're not going to win this battle ever, this battle of ideas, as long as we think that the government has a right or a duty to provide food stamps or health care or Medicaid or public schools or any of the other areas where they have forced themselves upon us and they have no constitutional basis for doing it. We're not going to win this battle until we retrain the minds of Americans, and we're not going to do that as long as the public schools are creating disciples of socialism.
We got to get down to foundational issues. If we don't, we're going to wind up losing, folks, and that's what's happening right now with Republicans and with the Democrats and what they're doing in office. The stings are helpful in letting everybody know what's going on in some of these organizations, but remember, the abortions, the fundamental problem is the stealing. The fundamental problem is the killing, the murder of innocent children that's been paid for by government dollars since the 1970s. That's the problem. Okay, a 13-year-old runs in and winds up getting somebody stuck in the bureaucratic paperwork and violating a regulation here or there. The fundamental problem is she went in to get her abortion paid for by the United States federal government. Those are the fundamental issues. Until we fix the fundamental issues, we're never going to see these stings solve any real problems with our social systems.
And you're exactly right, Kevin. If that's the foundational issue, the terra firma, what the foundation sits on must be the fear of God, because a society that doesn't fear God will make up its own rules, its own ethics, and they'll be fickle and they'll be constantly changing. But the terra firma of the fear of God will keep a society free. The terra firma of the fear of God will give you more liberty than any other idea present.
Well, folks, trying to get everybody to think fundamentally, basically, foundationally on this program, and you're only going to think that way if you embrace the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and we go back to the Word of God as the basis for our ethics again and again on this radio program. There is no other place to go than the God who is transcendent above it all if you're going to have an absolute transcendent form of ethics, and that's what we do on this radio program. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Pliers. Is your toolbox complete? Add some critical thinking tools to your kit as you listen to Worldview Academy's Bill Jack with simple tools for brain surgery.
During a debate on origins, Cornell University professor Will Provine, a well-known evolutionist, stated, "There are no gods or purposive forces, no life after death, no basis for ethics, no ultimate meaning in life, and no free will." Assuming he is correct, what question should we ask him? That's right. What difference does what you're saying make in your life? Or, so what? After all, if evolution is true and there is no basis for morals or ethics, then what difference does it make whether I help the little old lady across the street or run her over with my car? Why even debate the issue? If there's no free will, then I can't change his mind and he can't change mine. So what? Another simple tool for brain surgery.
To add more tools to your kit, call 1-800-241-1123.